to crime and crime scene descriptions. And other adult content listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to The Darker Side, True Crime. I'm your host, Breaker. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend today. Today we'll be covering the case of Sandals Without Socks. With that said, on with the show. At approximately 2300 hours on 21st January of 1962, firefighters charged into the black smoke that filled the two-story home on Sarah Street in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. They had found 22-year-old Christine Mapps unconscious on the kitchen floor, 6 feet from a roaring fire. A firefighter dragged her outside where an ambulance was waiting. The firefighters continued to search, crawling under the smoke line, looking for Christine's 4-month-old baby, Julie Louise, and her 38-year-old husband, Edward Howard Mapps. They found Julie's naked body in a room just off the kitchen, about 15 feet from her mother, buried under blankets on a wicker sofa. Julie Louise was found dead on arrival from smoke inhalation at the hospital. Christine died a few hours later. The firefighters had failed to turn up any sign of the husband and father, an eccentric artist known throughout the neighborhood as, quote, the Beatnik, unquote. What an unusual name. He had earned that nickname because an unconventional work, unkempt appearance, and habit of wearing sandals without socks, even in the dead of winter. Although a day later, a totally different word would describe him: murderer. The coroner finds that smoke wasn't what killed Christine. An autopsy showed that her death was caused by blows to the head with, quote, tremendous force, unquote. The coroner noted that the injuries looked as if she had been in a car that slammed into a pole at 50 miles an hour. Arson investigators determined that the fires, 10 throughout the house, had been deliberately set and fueled with papers, trash, rags, and shredded curtains. Gas jets had been turned on in the kitchen as if the killer had planned to destroy any evidence by fire. Eddie had vanished. No one had a clue where he had gone. His two foreign cars were still in a garage, and he might have simply walked away into the surrounding woods. He was an experienced outdoorsman. His wilderness skills were so strong that friends and neighbors had another nickname for him: Nature Boy. So, Nature Boy Beatnik. Okay. The following day, two of Eddie's friends said that he had phoned them after the deaths of his wife and baby. One said he had a terse two-word message for her, quote, you're next, unquote. The other friend reported a brief conversation which he urged Mapps to turn himself in. 2 days after the murders, a warrant was issued for Mapps' arrest. State and local police, FBI agents, and game wardens fanned out across the regions but found no trace of him. That bus and cab drivers and police say that they had told police that they had no passengers that fit his description. Quote, we just "Don't know how he left the scene," unquote, one detective told a reporter for the Scrantonian. Investigators found a troubled life when he looked into his past. Edward was born in 1922, the oldest of three children of a respected New Jersey-based surgeon and his wife. During World War II, Max had served in the Marine Corps and was on Iwo Jima. He was treated for some emotional issues, and a diagnosis of schizophrenia preceded his discharge in 1945. Back home, he attended Syracuse University, majoring in art and psychology. In the 1950s, he briefly studied sculpture in New York City. For a time, he bounced from one low-level job to another and then landed work teaching at the Henry Street Settlement. There, he met Christine Wolbach, a recent college graduate. She quickly became infatuated with the Grasmuck teacher, 16 years her senior. The couple married in 1960 after a two-month courtship and moved in with Christine's parents. Julie was born 2 years later. Eddie, his wife, and baby brought the Strasbourg home in November of 1961. He did not hold down a regular job and only occasionally sold paintings or sculptures at Strasbourg art shows. Still, the family lived comfortably on an inheritance from his father and Eddie's investment skills. The family seemed happy, and Eddie appeared to adore his baby. He seemed to have no motive to commit such a horrible crime. In June 1962, the, quote, "murderous beatnik," unquote, as one newspaper put it, landed on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. His face stared out from posters in police stations, post offices, federal buildings all over America, but that yielded nothing. The hunt from Pennsylvania to Greenwich Village, art shows, Cape Cod, Alaska, Canada, Mexico, all 50 states, and overseas. Months then years passed, and new theories of the crime emerged. Some believed that whoever murdered Christine and Julie also did away with Eddie. One suggestion was that he had been weighted down with rocks and tossed in a river. Another theory attributed the killings to Christine's father. He was reputed to have a hot temper and did not like his son-in-law. Sightings of the burly man with the bushy black hair and beard could have been Eddie were reported throughout the area. Some connected him to robberies, abductions, and murders. 5 years after the killing, a Life magazine article showed a picture of artists in London. One bore resemblance to Eddie. Nothing came of those leads. In 1967, the FBI dropped Eddie from the most wanted list, and in 1971, he was officially declared dead. Decades passed. Still to this day, there are those that hold out hope of solving the mystery, if he's still alive, bringing the 100-year-old fugitive to justice. Before I go on, a big shout out goes to the New York Daily News. Without them, this episode wouldn't have been possible. A puzzling case with seemingly no motive and only one main suspect, Edward Howard Maps. In 2022, Edward would be very old or very, very dead. I don't think there'd be any justice in this case. Who do I think did this horrible crime? Quite honestly, I don't know. In the coverage for the case that I found, they say they didn't even say they they even looked into anyone else as a suspect for this case. The victims themselves then lead a high-risk lifestyle. They didn't really have any known enemies for that matter either. One was just an infant after all. Did Christine's father really kill his daughter and his granddaughter, then somehow subdue an ex-soldier that was on Iwo Jima? Highly doubtful. The commotion would have raised the attention of the neighbors at least, and you're talking about someone, like I said, someone who fought on Iwo Jima, then survived to tell the tale. That in itself is really no small feat. But Edward being this prime suspect with his suspicious disappearance, that's a head scratcher too. There's lots of people with schizophrenia that lead normal, non-violent lives. There are many different types of schizophrenia as well, so we can't say he went out of his mind and killed them either. But he was the most likely the last person to see with them, so he would be a person of interest at least to question. And there was a point in time, to my recollection, where schizophrenia was a catch-all diagnosis for anyone with mental illness. I don't remember the time period. So that may have been the reason why he was discharged from the military, but I could find no records, and normally they don't release that to the general public anyway. In the end, it would take someone with information to come forward to solve this now very cold case, or perhaps just bring the 100-year-old man to justice. If he is really the one who killed his family. With that said, this brings this case to a close. Thank you for listening and subscribing to my podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe, tell a friend, please rate us 5 stars and review this podcast if you like this podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Pandora, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any comments or suggestions for cases, please feel free to email info@darkersidepodcast.com. I'm on my official home on the internet, zephula.com. That's zephula.com. You'll find the show's official page there, as well as my personal page as well. If you decide to sign up, make sure you like the page and give me a friend request as well. I'll be sure to accept it. Mahalo, and thank you, and see you next time on The Darker Side.